Our next speaker is Liz Sarno from the University of Nebraska. And a cast of thousands.
Really? I know. Kathleen asked me, she goes, "You're joking. You've had that many people." I'm not, actually. Well, let me start talking about how this program got developed and it was conceived. I just think the history may help other people that are thinking of approaching their university or developing an organic research program, and this may help you. All right, the University of Nebraska is a land grant, and it has a statewide responsibility to serve the needs of Nebraska and all of its citizens. When this research program was initiated, organic farmers were an underserved group of farmers and needed research-based information. Okay. The project was initially started by David Balzenberger, Charles Shapiro, Charles Francis in 2005. They were the core. There were many other people, but they were the core that identified the need to increase the capacity to conduct research on certified organic farm ground. So we first had to transition farm ground at the four ecoregions. So we started out, and what's unique about Nebraska is the rainfall averages range from 36 inches in eastern Nebraska to 13 in western Nebraska. We have different lengths of growing seasons, altitudes, and soils. Nebraska provides a unique set of ecological and cultural characteristics that makes this program here especially valuable for screening cultivars and developing crops for adaptation to organic management under a range of conditions. So as you see, we have the four research centers spread out all over our state. And for those of you in the east, it takes about 8 hours to drive across Nebraska. So I think you can get past Maine in that time. Okay. So I think that's it for that site. Now, no matter what kind of great idea you have, of course, funding is essential. So it was good our university supported our program and also supported my salary. I was hired on in 2006, and they helped pay for some of my salary. And I'd also like to acknowledge NIFA. We had a USDA grant for $750,000 to help get the program started. I don't think without that funding we'd be quite so successful. So I thank them for that and hope they continue that funding. It's really important. Now, researchers. So we had to identify researchers at each one of those farms. So Charles Shapiro was the head PI, and then everybody else kind of fell into place underneath the four different research farms. But then I think what's really key to conducting good research is identifying the collaborators, the farmers, and the other organizations. We were really lucky in Nebraska. We had OCI Research and Education. They helped us with, when you are certified, you have to get inspected every year. So they helped us with the cost of the lining up the inspectors and the certification. That's really important. They also share information in their newsletter and at their annual meetings. The same with Nebraska Sustainable Ag Society. They share our research and at their annual meeting. We have a co-sponsored UNL Rural Advantage Healthy Farms meeting, and we get to do workshops. We get to participate in their newsletters. Another thing, we put together an organic farmer advisory committee, and this has been really essential to help direct some of the projects, review them, and just give us a sense of what the organic community is thinking. And I have to say, when we started this, those guys were really surprised we cared what they thought. So it's a little bit hard to get them to start, you know, interacting, but eventually they when they see you're here to stay, they get excited. So we had three major objectives with this grant, and the first, which we succeeded in doing, was getting certified ground at all four research stations. We also created an opportunity for researchers to conduct research on certified ground. And we started to work with the cooperating farmers to identify key issues, and we also developed methods to assess environmental concerns using indicators of wildlife diversity. Now, as I mentioned, the importance of working with cooperating farmers, it's not easy to find these guys, and it's really embarrassing. People would ask me, how many organic farmers do you have in your state? Well, I knew a lot of them, so I was pretty close. But the problem is there are 52 domestic and 41 accredited certifying agencies, and your farmer could be certifying in Oregon when you're farming in Pennsylvania. So it's not easy to find them. So a great place to try to get some of this information is with your National Agricultural Statistics Service. They have information. They just recently conducted an organic survey of a lot of organic producers in the whole country, so they have all kinds of information on how many farmers, how many acres, and that's a big help. Now, next thing. A weighty question. Why is it important to conduct research on certified, and I keep saying certified, I hope you're catching that, organic ground? Well, for me, 15 years ago, we didn't have this in Nebraska, and my neighbor and I farmed organically, and we went to look at some new soybean varieties. Well, we went out, and the plots were on conventional ground, and I asked him, I said, well, how exactly are you going to determine what's the best variety for you? I mean, I thought he needed, you know, information on emergence, yields in a multi-crop, multi-year rotations, resistant to pests. These things could not be obtained from looking at those varieties the way they're raised. And for researchers, it's really important. If you're going to really help your end users, you need to look at varieties and cultural practices that work within those systems. We decided, or I'm not really sure how it came around, but we didn't really do a lot of comparative research to conventional. We focused on looking at the differences between organic systems. And I think this is good because our farmers, they didn't really care about that. And, you know, I think there's plenty of, research on those systems. But we wanted to focus on what was happening with organic systems in our state. And I have to tell you, when this project started, it was not easy because the farmers would come out and look at our corn and think, oh, these guys don't know how to grow corn. The researchers were like, oh my God, she's telling us you're going to get in from cover crops for the next cash crop. So it's a learning curve. They say it takes 3 years for the land to transition and 7 years for your brain. That works for farmers and researchers alike. So it was a little bit interesting. I have to say now, though, we are doing well. Our relationship has improved with the organic community. We have now on-farm research projects, and we have demonstrated to our farmers we actually know what we're doing in the science end of it. So that's been a good thing. But there was a learning curve, and you should expect that. So, again, if you're going to sell any of your crops that you, you know, harvest, you're going to have to certify to the NOP standards. You need to read them and understand. There are two reasons. One, it's the law. And the second one, the NOP allows you to certify field by field, so you don't have to put your whole farm into organic production. So I'm suggesting you read and understand these standards. And I want to point out one of the terms, if you look at the language under the NOP standard, National Organic Program Standard 205.2, it talks about organic production systems. And it's interesting to see the language. Integrating cultural, biological, and mechanical practices that foster cycling of resources, promote ecological balance, and conserve biodiversity. You will notice, which is interesting, you don't see the term profit. Profit's important, but it should not come at the expense of the environment. And when people say, and I hear it all the time, why does organic food cost so much? This is the reason why. And I feel it is our job as a researching community to help farmers meet those challenges and accomplish that task. So that's really important in your research. Now, in Nebraska, how do we do that? Well, part of our grant was to also research on developing a tool called the Healthy Farm Index. It's to assess and communicate the value of biodiversity and ecosystem services in a farm system. So we're still working on that tool, but it's coming along. And we have several indicators here, food and fiber, biodiversity, environment, and then something we often don't do at all in our society and we should take more is the quality of life enhancement. I think that's really important. So I'm going to talk about whole systems. I don't think we're quite doing that, but I think when you're developing an organic research program, you need to think about a lot of things. things that we really didn't have quite in place, but we have now, is the type of equipment you're going to use. You may need several. In Nebraska, we're doing row crops of corn and soybeans, small grain. So you might have to have several different types of hose and cultivator for mechanical control of weeds. But another part of our grant was to do flaming. And this project was quite exciting because of the researcher's approach. He ended up working with an engineer at the university that also works for NASA in combustion. And so that was a good combination there. And then the graduate students started working right away with our farmers. So it was wonderful to see young students that didn't have a lot of knowledge of things, and then the older experienced farmers. Right away we changed a lot of design things. And wouldn't everybody like a chance? How many times have you had something that said, oh, I wish I could get a hold of that engineer? Well, we did, and it worked out really well. It was a great learning experience for both the farmers and the engineer. And now our farmers, we have several farmers that are helping us use the flamer in the field to develop cultural practices. So that was another thing of our part of our grant there. And it's important to develop timely management strategies. When you're thinking of doing organic production, you need to talk to your technician, make sure they understand how to hoe and cultivate crops. Another thing, when you set up your research prods, if you're going to use a hoe, you've got to give enough time for your tractor to get the speed up to kick out weeds. That's a really tough thing when I think people are doing research. They often don't have the room for that particular thing. Also, you have to be really nice to your technicians. They might have to sacrifice some weekends to control your weeds. I will say organic farming takes anywhere from 40% or more labor, so they're going to have to be compensated for that. And now I finally understand what graduate students are for. You really want to have graduate students. I guess they collect a lot of data. All right. Livestock is a really important thing in a system, but you're going to have to make sure you have the faculty, the staff to house and care them. The thing that's good is the livestock do not have to be certified or organic to graze on the ground. This might be a good way to get a farmer that has livestock involved in on-farm research with you. So you're going to have to educate your farm managers, your other researchers on spray issues, your technicians. Consider where your seed's being stored. We had some seeds stored in a warehouse, and they fumigated it. So, you know, you have to think about things like that. Not all substances are prohibited inputs, rather, but they have to be compliant with the NOP list, and OMRI's a great source for that. Organic seeds. I just got inspected, and even though your research, your inspector is going to insist that you've searched out all your seeds. So if you only have one variety, you've got to get an affidavit. Am I getting, I'm getting really close. Well, I'll have to kind of skip a little bit. I did a training of field to table, and that was a good thing. And I'm really running, unfortunately, a little bit too far. But I did want to take a chance here to thank Charles Shapiro. He's our head PI, and he's really done a great job at mentoring me and also, taking care of our team. And this is part of our team, and it's even gotten bigger, Kathleen. I haven't gotten everybody down there. But because of that team, we have developed quite a few other projects with organic wheat breeding, on-farm research, and an antioxidant study. And I'd like to thank our state advisors. They've really been helpful. We have a couple producers, and we were also working with the Indian College. And I'll just sum this up. It's really nice. Our organic advisors came up. We asked them to come up with a vision statement, and I thought this was really nice. The University of Nebraska-Lincoln Organic Working Group will develop strategies for transition from conventional agriculture to organic whole farming systems that are ecologically self-renewing and profitable, and that will provide nutrient-dense foods, ecosystem services, and educate to current and future generations. So I guess I don't have time for questions, but you can certainly look online. Sorry about that. Thank you. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You skipped over so much, you have time for one question.
Oh, okay. Well, we did meet our other objectives. We're going to the classroom.
You mentioned the importance of funding. that was another USDA grant.
That was an additional USDA grant. Yeah. No, there isn't. There should be. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. And I think that's the thing that we really need to keep hopefully pushing in the Farm Bill and other places to continue this type of funding, because that's probably the only place you can get research dollars right now. I don't really know of, any other industry monies coming into that. So, unless somebody else in the room does. Probably not, right? Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.